morning. You're not the only one. I had a little bit of a hard time myself getting everything in place. But I think we're ready to go. So, grace and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Before we really get rolling this morning, I'll run through some quick announcements for you. A reminder that in back there are the bottles for the Lifeline Pregnancy Center bottle drive. Quite a few have been taken already. But if you would like to contribute to that, you have until Father's Day is when that drive ends. And basically what it is, you take one of those baby bottles, throw your spare change into it, or bills, or even checks, and all of those proceeds go to fund Lifeline Pregnancy Center's programs. A reminder that this Thursday is the Women's Ministry's first Thursday, and that will be happening at 6:30 at Alice Davis's home. And so I invite all you ladies to go ahead and turn out for that. That's going to be some food, some fellowship, and just a really good time all the way around. Reminder, too, that some more volunteers are needed for Bible camp. Seeing that the kitchen help is filling up real nicely, so thank you for that. But we're still needing some teachers and some counselors for the cabins, and the kids and all that kind of stuff. So if that's something that you can do and are interested in doing, I invite you to take a look at the back there. There's a sign-up sheet for volunteers there. And a reminder that that camp is happening June 15th through the 19th up at Warm Lake, and I hope all of you can come up for that as well. Reminder, too, that our Vacation Bible School will be happening August 7th through the 11th. That's a little ways off yet, but we are needing volunteers for that as well. So if that is something that you can sign up for, we're always in need of teachers and helpers and all that kind of stuff. So go ahead and speak to Greg if that's something you're interested in helping out with. Reminder, too, that this summer book club at the home of Dale and Becky Wilson is going to be happening. That's going to begin on Friday, June 10th. That's going to happen every other Friday throughout the summer. And looks like a really interesting study. The book that's going to be looked at is The Hole in Our Holiness by Kevin DeYoung, who's a fantastic theologian and author. And so if that is something you want to do, go ahead and speak to Dale or sign yourself up on the sheet back there. If you had already signed up on that sheet, the books are now in for that, and there's a pile of them on the Lost and Found table in the back in the entryway here. And so if you sign up for a book, you can find yours there. Pass that over. Are there any other announcements that I failed to get out there? Yes. In case you couldn't hear that worked out really well last year. Shannon was providing supper for all the volunteers beforehand, so you didn't have to worry about getting supper into you, then running off to church. You could come and eat here if you were a volunteer. So a little extra incentive there. You can get some good food for free if you're a volunteer here. You can essentially work for food, which is something I do. Anything else? Oh, yes, Greg. Absolutely. You bet. Oh, yeah, we didn't get that in there this morning. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Yeah, kids' story today. Since it is summer and Sunday school is ended for the summer, we're starting up our kids' stories during the service again today, and that will happen right after the offering. Great. Fantastic. And again, if you couldn't hear that, that first Thursday by the Women's Ministries is not just a Women's Ministries event. It is a fellowship event for all ladies in the congregation. It's not a meeting or anything like that. So it's open up, and all ladies here are invited to that. Thank you. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and begin our time of worship with our call to worship, which this morning comes from Psalm 96, verses 1 to 2. Let's go ahead and read that together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Amen to that. And let's do just that. We'll sing to the Lord a new song, but some familiar songs to you, I'm sure, as we go to our praise songs this morning. Well, now that we got the blood pumping a little bit, let's turn to our first hymn this morning. Our first hymn is number 8 in your hymnals, To God Be the Glory. I'll invite you to please rise as we sing this hymn together.
Great things He hath done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the light gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Hosanna to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, the moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Hosanna to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be a wonder of henceforth when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Hosanna to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite up Dan Knutson for our scripture reading this morning.
Good morning. I've been reading through Proverbs, and I always feel like if I read more than one verse, it kind of blows my mind. One verse is enough to think about for quite a while, so I guess I'm going to blow your mind and read a whole chapter. Chapter 3 of Proverbs. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father, the son He delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life, and to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame.
Thank you, Dan, for sharing that with us this morning. You know, Proverbs is just a fountain of wisdom. Not that all of Scripture isn't a fountain of wisdom, but Proverbs especially. And there's one thing that stuck out to me there, as Dan was reading, is that return again to talking about God as Father. And I thought that was very apt, given that we're about to go to Him in prayer. If you think about it, prayer is amazing. I mean, who are we to go to the Creator of all things and ask for stuff, ask for favors, ask for healing? Who are we that God would look upon us? But He is our Father, and we are His children, and it delights Him to hear us pray to Him. And so as we go to prayer this morning, I would ask if there are any special prayer requests that we can share together this morning.
Been ill for a long time, and his kidneys are shutting down. They're just taking desperate measures to try to just really pray for a miracle, really. It's a prayer for him and his family. He is a believer, so I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, we'll certainly be praying for Jason. Thank you. That's rough. Wow. Wow. We'll definitely be praying for Nathaniel, 18 years old, with a recurrence of cancer. Wow. Thank you. Well, if there are no others, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our most holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for this time to hear your word. We thank you for this time of prayer. We thank you that through our Lord Jesus Christ, you have healed the divide between you and us. And now you call us your children. You invite us to pray to you. so that we can share with you the concerns and the joys of our hearts. Lord God, we confess to you that we are unworthy of such a gift, that we are sinners in your eyes. We have sinned against you in the things we do, in the things we say, even in the things we think. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would heal us and restore us, that through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, all of these sins are completely forgiven, and that we are restored to you. Our God, we pray for Jason, who is literally in the fight of his life. And so, Lord, we pray for a miraculous healing on your part. We pray that you would work healing into him, reverse the damage that has happened in his body, and bring new life into him. Our God, we thank you for the faith that you have created in him. As a believer in Jesus Christ, he knows, and his family and friends know, that should this battle end, that he would see you in glory. Lord, we pray for Nathaniel and the recurrence of cancer in him. Lord, we pray that in him too, your miraculous healing would happen. That you would remove this cancer from him and the treatments that he is facing would be successful. Lord, we pray these same things for Kendra and for Rita, for Judy and Walter, for Jamie Miller's dad, all of these who are struggling with cancer right now. Lord, we pray for comfort. We pray that you would be with them powerfully and that your healing would be worked into them as well. Lord, we think of this day, on this weekend, this holiday weekend, we think of those who have died in service of their country. We thank you for their sacrifice and for their efforts to keep us safe. And Lord God, as believers, we thank you for giving us the promise that we can look forward to a time when war is no longer reality, but that we would live in a newly created world and a newly created heaven where there's nothing but perfect peace. Lord, we pray for Virginia and her recovery from this stroke. We pray for Vivian and continuing to strengthen her. We pray for Jeannie and her continued recovery. And for Robin and the surgery that she is facing for her knee. And pray for Larry and the many health troubles that he has. And for Erin and the healing that she needs and the strengthening that she needs as well. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling on this weekend. We pray for safe travels, that danger would not even be seen by them. And Lord, we pray for all the gatherings and festivities that will happen. May they ultimately glorify you and bring glory to your name. Lord, we pray for those who are not with us this morning. If it's because of illness, we pray for healing and that strength would return to them. If it's on account of traveling, again, we just pray for safety and travels. Oh God, we bring all these prayers to you. Even the prayers that we have not yet put to words, we bring them all to you and thank you for this opportunity to pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, now I get to invite up Abby Hall for our special music this morning. Wow, good job, Abby. You know, I vividly remember helping move a piano into your house, and it was not that long ago. And look at you now, praising God with music. Thank you for that. Let's turn to our next hymn this morning, hymn number 291, which is Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Hymn number 291, I'll invite you to please stand again, as you're able, as we sing together.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the wondrous grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's always a risk picking out a slightly complicated hymn like that, but man, you guys sounded great. You pulled it off. Let's continue our worship of God with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you have given us the desire of our heart through your Son, Jesus Christ. But even more so, you have, well, not even more so, but you have also given us our needs in this earthly life. You have provided for us and provided in abundance. So, Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to give back to you what was already yours. And we pray that you would take these gifts, multiply them, and use them as you would see fit. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now is the time when the kids get to come on up and hear Youth Director Greg give them a kid's story. Come on up, kids.
Just go ahead and squeeze into these first two rows. If we have to, we can sit in the third row by Bonnie. I don't bet you she won't mind. So a little bit of room here by Luke. Abby, you want to scoot in a little bit by Luke so that way someone, if they come in, they can just, yeah, that makes it easier for other people. Hope your sister's coming too. Silas wants to come up. Good. So let's, can you guys scoot down just a little bit this way so that Silas doesn't have to sit on top of the projector? Yeah. There we go. Good. I need your help today. You guys think you guys are up for it? We need to set the curriculum for this summer today. Do you guys know what it is that makes someone a hero? Because this summer we're going to look at heroes and villains. Heroes and villains. What is it that makes someone a hero or makes them a villain? What's the difference? What's that? What's the difference? I'm not asking you if I'm a hero or a villain. What is? We don't want to know that. You guys might tell the truth. My kids would say one thing, and maybe some of the youth group kids would say another. Nope, they would say agree with the kids. I'd be a villain. What is it? Let's try it out. What is it that makes someone a hero? And go ahead. I mean, you can think a little bit. You watch cartoons, right? You guys get to watch some movies sometimes? You read stories. I bet you like to read stories. Think of a hero in a story. What makes them a hero? And when you know, tell me, because I need to write it down. what makes a hero? Kate, thank you for raising your hand. What? They say a hero saves people. Agree? Okay. A hero. So as you see, I've got a hero column and a villain column. And we don't have a lot of time, so we need to do it sort of quick. A hero saves people. Save people. Good. That's a good one. That's a good start. What is something else that a hero does? What's that? A hero fights? Sometimes, don't they? Sometimes a hero does have to fight. What are they fighting for? To protect people? Yeah. That's right. Good. Now, don't villains fight too? Okay. Well, we better put that on the villains column then, because villains fight and heroes fight. Good. Okay. Who has something about a hero? What's something we can? What else do we know about a hero? What's that? They do. You're right. Okay. Let's try a villain then. What makes a villain? I mean, I say villain and I make a face like that. I mean, man. Ben, are all villains scary? Some. Okay. Well, all right. So should I write some are scary? Okay. Some are scary. Have you guys ever been scared by a villain? Some are screamy. They do. Kate? A villain. A villain robs people. Okay. Sometimes villains take things that belong to other people. Okay. Can I write that? Is that how I should put it? They take things that aren't theirs? Steal? They steal? Okay. They steal. Good. Levi, what are you going to talk about? The hero or the villain? A villain. Tell me about a villain. Villains kill. They do. Sometimes they hurt people. So let's say, why don't we say, I don't really want to focus too much on the villains killing. Why don't we say that villains might hurt people? Can I say that? You're not wrong. That's true. Garrett, who a villain or a hero? A hero. What does a hero do? They save the day. They don't just save people. They save the day. That's true. They save the day. Luke, hero or villain, buddy? Villain. Tell me about a villain. What's that? They want power. That's kind of a mature thing to recognize, because that's very true. They want power. Good, thank you. Well, so far you have 5 things on what a villain does and 3 things on what a hero does. Let's see if we can get some more hero things. What does a hero do? Do heroes want power? Do heroes want power? Okay, sometimes. So how could we put that? Think about it. What does a hero do? Superman? That's right. He's one of my favorite heroes, too. Waiter? Heroes. What does the hero in Little Red Riding Hood do? What does the hero in... What's another story that you guys might know? What does a hero in the Bible do? Ben? The hero is brave, always. But we like our heroes brave, right? It's kind of hard to root for a hero who's screaming like me. No. Brave. Heroes are brave. Are villains brave? Okay. But, you know, we don't like brave villains, do we? No, we like villains that go, a hero, and run, right? It's the kind of villains I like. Darth Vader. Darth Vader doesn't scream like that, does he? Do heroes only do what they want to do? Do heroes only do what they want to do? Do heroes sometimes do things for other people, even what they don't want to do? Can you think of any heroes who do that? Who's a hero who does that he didn't really want to, but he did it, and it was good? God. That's an amazing hero. That's right. You'll never be wrong with that. That's a Sunday school answer. God. Jesus. You know, sometimes we see people who start out as villains who do the right thing, and they change their mind, don't they? What do you think, Ben? Paul? Hey, there you go. Paul was a villain, wasn't he? And he changed. Very good. But we're not talking about we don't want to talk about the heroes yet. We might talk about him. Good. Do heroes lie? Not often. We hope not. Do villains lie? Okay. Liars. Let's see here. Are heroes selfish? So what are heroes? So what are heroes if they're not selfish? Shellfish? Selfless. That's right, Kinsley. Selfless, not selfish. Can you say selfless?
Selfless.
Yeah, she's got it. Selfless. So that makes a villain selfish. Right? Now I'm writing shellfish on my list. You know, I'd like you this week. Garrett, sorry, buddy. What are you going to tell me about? You know, one important thing that we should recognize about a hero is the hero often overcomes the villain. The hero beats the villain, right? That's important. And I'll just write that on one side because we know what that means for the villain. Beats the villain. Kate?
They know what's right.
They know what's right. Okay. Levi?
They're strong.
They're strong. Good. All right, you guys, that's a good list. So let's look at this. A hero saves people. Okay, listen to this. This is our heroes. This is our hero list. A hero saves people. A hero will fight. A hero saves the day. Heroes are brave. Heroes are selfless. Heroes beat the villain. Heroes know what's right. And heroes are strong. Sound good? Okay, here's our villain. Villains will fight. Some are scary. They steal. They might hurt people. They want power. They're liars. And they're selfish. Does that sound like a good list for a villain? Is there anything that I'm missing? Okay. I want you guys to think about some villains and think about the characteristics of these villains, because guess what? The heroes and villains that we're talking about are not going to be heroes and villains from movies, heroes or heroes and villains from comic books. We're going to be looking at heroes and villains from the Bible. Heroes and villains from the Bible. don't say them out loud, but can you think of any heroes from the Bible? God. I know. Cooper said God. And we talked about Paul a little bit. There's two. Can you think of a couple? Can you think of any villains from the Bible? Well, if we said God, we know the devil's a villain, don't we? Can you think of a couple? Yeah, there's some others. We're going to look at some heroes and villains. And we're going to get some props, and I'm going to have some signs that you guys can hold up, because you're going to help me figure stuff out about these heroes and villains. And we're going to study them. I want to read a verse to you today as we finish. This is Hebrews 10:26. And this isn't really a feel-good verse. But it's a verse that gives us very clear direction. And that's what we need to do when we're studying our heroes and villains this summer. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Sermon notes are falling out of my Bible. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That verse might not have a lot of meaning to you yet, but we're going to talk about it this summer, and we're going to look at heroes and villains. So you guys do me a favor, and you think about heroes and villains, real heroes and villains. We're not going to talk about Superman. Not Superman. Nope. So, tell your mommy and daddy when you go home. Mommy, daddy, can you guys read me some stories about some heroes and villains in the Bible? That's why your mom, but your sister could read to you. Your mommies and daddies can help you. That's what I want. Or you can talk to them at dinner. Mommy, can you tell me about some villains in the Bible? Daddy, would you tell me about some villains in the Bible? Because I want to know. You do that. You guys talk about that this week. And if you're old enough to read yourself, get your Bibles out and look for some heroes and villains yourself. All right? All right. Thank you guys for coming up. You are excused.
I see no reason why a hero couldn't be a shellfish. Captain Crab saves the day. I love kids dying. All right, let's turn to our next hymn this morning, which is hymn number 264. 264 is Not What These Hands Have Done. I'll ask you to please rise as we sing this together. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. I work alone, O God, as this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Thy love to me, O God, not my poor love to Thee,
and rid me of this dark unrest, and set my spirit free. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. I am alone, O Son of God, in this sore bondage pray. I bless the Christ of God, I rest on love divine, and with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior mine.
I'll invite you to please remain standing as Greg shares with us God's Word this morning.
Good morning. Let me get my sermon notes back in my Bible. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And this morning, I would like to cover the text between verse 17 and verse 25. First Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through verse 25. Reading in Jesus' name. Since you call me a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for the care and the precision that you take with us as your children. Lord, you want to equip us and you want to strengthen us so that we can stand on your foundation and spread your word. Lord, I pray today that we can take this text and learn from it. Lord, I pray that we can apply it to our lives and use it to strengthen our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to remind you just briefly, we finished the last time that I preached with the phrase, remember, we are holy because God is that holy. You and I are holy because God is that holy. And today, we're going to be talking about a sincere love that we're called on to share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to tell you right up front, the only way that we can sincerely love our brothers and sisters in Christ, as Scripture calls us to do it, is by following the example of the sincere love that Jesus Christ has demonstrated for you and I. Now remember, Peter is writing these letters to the new Christian church, to fellow believers. So it's a little bit different from just going out and sharing in the context of having a bunch of non-believers. Peter doesn't necessarily have to build up the foundation and explain where he's coming from. So there's a little bit of an assumption that we know that these Christian churches are preaching Jesus Christ as the one true Savior, the one true only Savior. But it's kind of fun to see in Peter's teaching that he is taking care to remind us as Christians who this God is that you and I are called to serve. Who this God is that gives us the word which we hold so dear. And right away, Peter lets us know that God is a father and God is a judge. Well, as God the Father, we know that He is one who's dear to us. Because the Father is the one who's in the home with us, and He's the one that's ensuring that we're following certain protocol. That's what our earthly fathers do. You know, and our Father is someone that we have confidence in. You know, it's not very often that I remember that Dad would ask me to do something, and I'd be like, "Are you trying to hurt me?" I mean, we know parents make mistakes, but there is a confidence that we can have in our Father. You know, when Dad gave me a promise, even if he made a mistake and was able to keep his promise, I know that he was doing his very physical best to keep that promise. Well, we can apply this fatherly attribute to God. Now, the thing is about God is that he's the perfect father. And we can put all confidence in him, trusting his word, trusting his promises. We can trust in his redemptive plan. Because it's by His Son's precious and holy and perfect blood that we're saved. Jesus is the perfect Lamb, and He sent Him to us because He cares for us. And He loves us. And not only is He dear to us, but we're dear to Him. Now, Peter makes it clear that we also have a God who judges us. Now, this could be bad or good, but He judges us each impartially. You know, sometimes that's hard for people to do. I can remember going through the school system who knew my parents were teachers. And so sometimes I got the benefit of the doubt. I may not have been judged impartially. Greg Coleman, well, Gary Coleman's your teacher. Your mom was my teacher. I know your uncles. They played baseball with my dad or, you know, just with stuff like that. So there wasn't necessarily an impartiality when it comes to people. But this tells us that God, who is our judge, He is going to judge us individually. And we don't get the benefit of our last name. We don't get the benefit of what country we're from. And here being in the New Testament, in the New Church, it's making it clear also that the Jew and the Gentile are no longer separate. There's not a separate blessing for them. The promise of Christ is now for everybody. But also, according to this judge, you will be judged on your acts and your deeds. All of them. Someday. Doesn't matter if your brother was great at this. I don't get the benefit of the doubt. Doesn't matter if your dad did this. I don't get the benefit of the doubt. I will be judged on my acts and my deeds. One thing about this text that threw me for a little bit, as you know, I'm preaching from the NIV, and it says, live as a stranger. Live as a stranger. Live as a stranger in reverent fear. Live as a stranger. Well, so I went and looked at some of the other translations. I looked at the King James Version. I looked at our Pew Bible. Now, the Pew Bible says, during your stay, live in fear. And the King James says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Well, in a nutshell, Peter is reminding you and I as Christians to remember that we're here in this world for a short time. And we're not to put our trust in things that are also going to be here for a short time. So as Christians, that allows us to realize, hey, we're going to be here on this earth for a short time. We're temporarily residing here on earth. But our real home is in heaven. You know, it doesn't matter how long we're on earth, because heaven's eternal. Thousands of years can seem like a lot to you and I now, but in the eyes of eternity, it's nothing. So why are we supposed to live in fear, in reverent fear? There's a couple verses that I came across that I just want to share with you, and I'm going to read them fairly quickly. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 3, and this is the verse. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And this one actually is out of 1 Peter, so we'll probably be covering it again someday. 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. See, this is where the fear comes in. I don't want to jump ahead too far in my sermon, but I'm going to read verse 22 real quick. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. That's verse 22 of today's text. In order to get to the point where we're purified and able to love our brothers sincerely, there has to be a reverent fear of God. Now, God's love has no fear in it. God's perfect. But you and I, we just so happen to live in a state of imperfect love. This thing called the fall broke everything all to pieces. So as God's love is perfect, your love and my love is shaded and broken by sin. And because of this, we need to have a fear going along with it. Now, we don't want an enslaving dread, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit later. But we do need to have an understanding that our Heavenly Father hates sin. And like I stated earlier, sin will be impartially judged. Now, God has called us from an empty way of life. Whether we became a Christian as a young age or an old age, we've been called from an empty way of life. And our scripture in verse 18 says we lived in ignorance. And we're putting our trust in perishable things. Now, if we're going to put our trust in perishable things, we will have a fear. And I'm going to go through kind of a list of fears here. And it's not quite the same as, like, you know, being afraid of this. Because sometimes you can say, well, a fear of friends, right? Because that's on my list. A fear of friends. Not a fear of friends, but maybe not being willing to make the right decision because you're afraid what your friends will think. Not doing the right thing because your friends aren't doing the right thing. This is kind of what I mean when I say this. So I also talk about, like, you know, a fear of love. And I'm not trying to say that we're afraid of love, but sometimes we do have an unconfidence in an earthly love that we're afraid to lose it or think we need it above all things, and so we're willing to compromise what we know is true. So perishable things, a fear of friends, a fear of lost prestige, fear of money, losing it or getting more, a fear of love, a fear of pride, fear of bad guys, fear of weather, fear of dogs, fear of bees. I mean, we can find something to be afraid of. The world preaches fear to you and I. Open up your newspaper, watch a news report, open up a website, and it's a news related. The first topic is almost always fear. But the problem with this list that I gave you is that there is no mention of having a fear in God in this. And having a fear in anything other than God is dangerous to your walk and to my walk. So let's look at this for just a second. If you have no fear, this leaves you defenseless. And this may be talking more directly to the non-believer. If you claim to have no fear, you're not afraid, you know, everybody can do what they want, I have no fear, that leaves you defenseless. That allows Satan to come in and take you captive at his will. Well, what if you have a fear of everything? You know, what if we're looking at, like, you know, the Greek gods, where God might wake up cranky one day and wipe out a whole city with a volcano just because Greg forgot to light the candle to Zeus the right way or something like that. You know, that's an enslaving fear that God doesn't want us to have. But if we have an enslaving fear, I think Martin Luther even dealt with an enslaving fear at times. You know, talking about him just laying on his floor because he trying to be what Scripture was calling him to be, but realizing he just couldn't do it. It wasn't possible. That kind of enslaving fear will leave us broken and helpless. And that causes us not to remember the God-given advantages we have. And then we're easily brought to surrender. Dan shared that chapter from Proverbs today, and there was a part in there, one of the verses, that fear in God keeps us from thinking we can be wise in our own eyes. This fear, this healthy fear that we have in God, knowing that He's a judge, but recognizing that He's our Heavenly Father and wants what's best for us, is the way fear should be. A fear to remind us, no, if I choose to live that style of life, I'm being disobedient to God. Recognizing that. Now, what fear really needs to do when we do it that way is that kind of fear should always transition back to Christ. Christ, our perfect Lamb, the perfect sacrifice. That kind of fear translates back to our faith in Christ. You know, not just only faith in Christ, but faith by Christ and faith through Christ. Jesus Christ, in verse 20, chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last days for your sake, for my sake. Raised from the dead, we look at verse 21. You know, we ask, what's important about Jesus rising from the dead? Well, it shows that He conquered death and sin, right? Yes, absolutely. But you know what? It also shows that God accepted Him as our righteous substitute. Because one of the reasons that we have fear is because we recognize that we're sinners. Another reason that we choose to try to avoid fear is because we know that Jesus did it perfectly and He's our example. So our relationship with God is not only fear. And as our relationship becomes stronger, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, it becomes more of an act of, Jesus did this for me, and I love Him for that. So I'm going to, I choose to focus on Him and stay with Him, and He can help me through my sin. Because I'm afraid to disappoint my Heavenly Father, disappoint the Christ who came to save me from my sins. Jesus was raised from the dead, proving that He's a righteous substitute for our sin. And by being raised from the dead, He was glorified. He didn't come back with an earthly body. He came back with a heavenly body. And He received power. Power to give you and I the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit put on you and I as believers as we seek Christ and find Him is what gives us this purification that verse 22 talks about. The new birth, our purification, comes through the direct action of the Holy Spirit given to us by Christ. And God's Word is the instrument of a sinner's purification. Natural relationships give rise to natural affection. All right, think about the friends that you have around you. Wives, husbands, friends. You don't build that relationship or have affection with the people around you until you first had a relationship with them. Well, this spiritual affection that we're striving for doesn't come until we first have a spiritual relationship. Our spiritual relationship with Christ, with God our Father, is what allows us to have spiritual affection. And the great thing about this spiritual affection is it's not something that will pass or fade away. It's eternal. And the seeds that are produced by this spiritual affection, they go on and continue to abide too. And the spiritual affection is demonstrated perfectly for us by Jesus Christ. So let's go back and look at this. We all were called from a lost condition. You know, and now as Christians, we know that even during that lost condition, Jesus loved us first. Loved us before we were believers. We heard God's Word. Or, we ignored God's Word. Because that's the option. God's Word is given. God's Word is the instrument, as I said, to a sinner's purification. Many, many people have heard God's Word and not listened to it. They don't submit to it. They don't obey it. And I guess there could be a matter of argument if we're seeking God's Word to become a Christian or we hear God's Word and decide to be a Christian. But either way, it is God's Word that promotes in us a fear of our sin. And it does. It starts off as a fear because as a little kid, I don't want to go to hell. As an adult, I don't want to go to hell. But my spiritual relationship with God has now transformed this fear now to a reverence. So I don't go through every day fearful of an angry judge. I now have a reverence for God the Father who loves me and wants what's best for me. And I cannot take away His holiness, because that if we as Christians take away His holiness, then we're losing an attribute of God that's very important. We do have a holy God who cannot stand sin. We have a holy Father who loves us, but cannot stand sin. This fear is what leads us to seek Christ. And when seeking Him, we receive Him. Then, as our relationship matures with Him, we learn to love Him, recognizing what He did for us on the cross, recognizing what He gave up for us, coming to earth as a sacrificial lamb. And then there's the reverence, loved by Christ. And then that enables us to love the others around us. I'm seen as holy because God is that holy. I'm able to love my neighbors and to love my brethren because God loves me that much. Now, there is a danger here, Christians, of vanity and pride. And that's why Peter finishes this little section reminding us that all men are like grass. And reminding us that we were called from an empty way of life into an imperishable way of life. But if our vanity and pride takes away the reverence that we have for God, the danger is we're putting our trust in a perishable thing. You know, we can look at investments. You know, we put our trust in our investments sometimes here on earth. And there's a danger in that. There's not a danger in putting our investment in God. There's no danger in this. And when we truly develop this fear which leads to reverence in our relationship with God, that's when the fear and reverence of God will drown out all other fears that we can possibly come into contact with. The fear that we have for God should drown out all other fears we have in our life. This is why martyrs are willing to stand up for Christ and die for Christ. This is why missionaries are willing to go to Iran, even though they know that if they profess to be a Christian or tell somebody about Christian, they're going to die. This is why Peter was a martyr. This is why John was a martyr. Oh, they had fear, but it was only of God. And this is healthy, because you know what? At our very best, we're still a withering, fading, dying creature. At our very best, that's all you and I are. But that's temporary. And eternal life with Christ will be the exact opposite of that. There we won't have an imperfect love. We'll get to experience God's perfect love even fuller. Our faith in Christ, not only in Christ, but our faith is by Christ and our faith is through Christ.
Amen to that. Well, let's turn to our last hymn this morning, which is hymn number 393. Hymn number 393 is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. I'll invite you to please rise one last time as we sing this hymn together.
To thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me when I pray, take all my sin away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart.
my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, make my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be the living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When end life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, as Savior then in love, fear and distrust remove, oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul.
Now receive this benediction from Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.